Thank you for your grace and those changes in the order of service. It will smooth out as time goes on. Some of you were not here when I introduced the changes because we are looking at the names of the Lord, and we want our worship to be focused on Him, not on us, not on our needs, but on the Lord Jesus. And when it comes to our needs, He is the one who supplies our every need. I have preached a series of messages over the last 35 years. That's astounding to me when I sat down and went back. 35 years of exalting the name during the Christmas season. I've taken 8 of those messages each year and preached them to the various congregations where I have served. And since I'm serving you right now, I'm preaching those messages. If you don't like those or don't like our changes to the order of service, do graciously let me know. That means with a smile on your face and humor. And we will walk together through these things as we adjust. My prayer, my heart's desire, my longing desire is that all of us would fall in love with Jesus. Because if we're in love with anything else, something else has priority in our lives. And we need to know the Lord. We want to know Him in all of His power, in all of His presence, in all of His glory. So when we pray, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. We are praying that prayer. As we open the Word together, we are praying, Lord, would you open our eyes because we want to see Jesus. The title of the message this morning is The Name of the Lord. The Name of the Lord. Throughout the next few weeks, over 7 weeks, we're going to go through different names of the Lord specifically. But this morning, I want to give an introduction to the names of the Lord to emphasize how important that name is. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. And I love that passage from Proverbs 18:10. Here it goes again. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. That is a promise. That when we know the name of the Lord and we take refuge in the name of the Lord will keep us safe. And then a New Testament passage that introduces the name of the Lord. And speaking of Jesus, the Apostle Paul writes, Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open the Word this morning, as we proclaim the name of Jesus, we ask for Your presence to be with us. We ask for the anointing on our minds as we have prayed, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes to see new things out of Your Word. Open our hearts to receive who Jesus is and how great He is. I pray for the anointing upon this preacher and the anointing upon the ears of those that hear, that those words would not fall to the ground, but they will bring forth fruit. And they would spring forth and do what You've wanted it to do. Lord, I pray for each and every one here today that they might see Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I want to ask you a question this morning. What's your name? Everybody shout out your name. Whatever name you go by, whatever name you like that you are called by, say it out loud. Okay, a variety of names. Some of you didn't use the name I know you by. Probably because you picked up a nickname somewhere along the line. When our parents named us, they had aspirations for us, and they gave us a name thinking that maybe you would turn into some characteristic of that name. All names have meanings. My mother gave me the name Richard, and I thought that was great because she thought of King Richard the Lionheart, and she wanted me to be King Richard the Lionheart. Then later in life, I found out the truth. She said there was a popular song at the time in 1947. It was called Open the Door, Richard. And that's why I got that name. And later, some members of my congregation looked that up and brought it to me and let me hear it. That is a terrible song. It's an awful song. And yet I got named Richard because of that. Because my name is Richard, I picked up other nicknames. While I was at home for my first years, my mother was calling me Ricky because she liked that better than Richard or Dick. And so she called me Ricky. And when she introduced me to the kindergarten teacher, she introduced the kindergarten teacher, this is Dickie LaFountain. And then my mom left the room, and the teacher got me in front of the class and said, everybody welcome Dickie LaFountain. And so I got Dickie throughout my school years. And then as I grew and my family got to know me, my brothers and sisters, as brothers and sisters do, I picked up a nickname. My sister picked up a nickname of Nene. Her name was Norma Jean. My brother picked up a name of Dee Dee because his name was David and we couldn't say his name. And later on in life, I picked up the name of, or nickname of, Peabody. Ask no questions, I'll tell you no lies. But that was the nickname based on some historical references. All of us have names, and some of those names you are proud of, and some of those names you are not proud of. Sometimes you live up to your name, and sometimes you don't live up to the name. But we all have names. And unlike the name of the Lord is not given as a hope that he will become something good for us. The name of the Lord is given to us because God is that very name. He is what he says he is. There are many names of the Lord throughout Scripture, and I'll get into that in a little bit later, but there are over 1,000 names given to us in the Bible that describe the Lord, that are nicknames of the Lord, or are specifically first names of the Lord. Jehovah is one that we're familiar with, but there are many others. Consider that there's 1,000 names of the Lord, and if Pastor Dick would preach only on 800 of those, on only 800 of those, for 8 weeks every year, I would have to preach for 100 years to cover 800 of them. And if we add the extra 200 that Warren Wiersbe came up with, then I'd have to live an extra 25 years and go out to do that. I'm not planning on doing that. But that's the extent of his names, to know that the names of the Lord are inexhaustible. They are more than we can count, and yet every name is given to us that we might profit from it, that we might claim it, that we might pray it, that we might know the Lord as our Savior. I want to suggest three things this morning about the name of the Lord. And you have some notes in your bulletin. If you pick up that little sheet there, on the back of that sheet is the outline of my message. It's not the full message, but it's in a little outline so you don't get to go to sleep. Let me remind you, if anyone falls asleep, I come down and I preach the rest of the message next to you. I want you to know that the Lord's name is precious, the Lord's name is prolific, and the Lord's name is powerful. First of all, the Lord's name is precious. It's precious because God gave us his name as part of a covenant relationship with God. In the beginning of the Scriptures, God was known as Elohim. That was the general Hebrew term for God, the creator God of the ends of the earth. When we come to Moses, God says, I want you to know me more intimately. I want to give you my name. And so he gives him the name Yahweh. And that's a difficult name, and we won't go into all the ramifications of it, but we've translated it different ways. Yahweh is one way to pronounce it, or Jehovah is another way to pronounce that name. It is an intimate name of God that sums up all of his characteristics. It's like a diamond. It is given to us as one piece, but it has many facets. How many of you ladies here have a diamond ring? Would you raise it up? Would you raise it up? Paul, would you get an offering plate and go collect those? Those rings are precious for a reason. I should have said, how many men have a diamond ring? Raise those up too. Because a diamond ring is very, very precious. As a matter of fact, here's an aside. I preached this in Brazil, and I asked that to a congregation of 250 people, and not one person raised their hand. They don't give diamond rings when they get married. They just give a gold ring. So you're fortunate to have a diamond ring. But I want you to take your diamond ring and hold it up to the light. Okay? Do that. Just hold it up to the light. Now, if the sun were shining, which they promise us it will next week, you could put that into the sunshine, and it would show a multitude of colors, a rainbow of colors, because it's cut into 58 facets. 58 facets. That's pretty fascinating that God has done that. Oh, you got it. Okay. It's pretty interesting that God has given his name that doesn't have 58 facets, has 1,000 facets. Each one of them shines a different light on his glory. Each one of us, each one of them is a rainbow that floods into our souls as we get to know him. That ring that you have, that diamond ring, was given to you in a covenant relationship. Your fiance gave it to you as a covenant, and he wanted to know you are precious, and that is precious. And he said, I want you to carry my name. And so the Lord gives us his name and says, I want you to carry my name wherever you go. I want you to know me. It was Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, that gave us a great challenge to know the names of the Lord. He said it this way, "Nothing can so enlarge the intellect, nothing magnify the whole of man as the devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of God. The most excellent study for expanding the soul is the science of Christ and Him crucified and the knowledge of the Godhead in the glorious Trinity. The proper study of the Christian is the Godhead. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can engage the attention of the child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the doings, and the existence of the great God which he calls his Father. It is a subject so vast that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. Other subjects we can comprehend and grapple with. In them we feel a kind of self-confidence that we know our way. Behold, I am wise, we say. But when we come to this master science, finding that our plumbing line cannot sound its depth and our eagle eye cannot soar to its heights, we turn away with the thought, I am as but yesterday, and I am nothing. The name of the Lord is precious. The name of the Lord is precious to God, and He wants it to be precious to you. He wants you to know His name. He wants you to call on His name. He wants you to experience the power of His name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. There is a great preacher, and we know his name only because he left behind a sermon that stands for all time. You can find it on YouTube if you want. His name is S.M. Lockridge. Write it down and look it up because you'd enjoy hearing it. And as he preaches about the name of the Lord, he's a black preacher, and he does it with some emotion. And if we had the recording here, I could play it for you, but you're going to have to listen to me try to be black this morning, okay? He says it this way, the Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He is the king of Israel. He is the king of righteousness. He is the king of the ages. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of glory. He is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means can measure or can define his limitless love. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Do you know him? He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is God's son. He is the sinner's savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the one only qualified to be the all-sufficient savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He is available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He forgave the sinners. He discharged the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him today? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the highway of holiness. He is the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, you got to get it. I'm doing it in the black voice. Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limited. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind and you can't get him off of your mind. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees tried to stand up to him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find fault with him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. That's my king. Amen. All right, you're still being very Presbyterian. When you hear that almost sung in his voice, it stirs the heart. Because what he's doing is he's taking a magnifying glass and a telescope, and he's focusing on the Lord and who he is. He's letting us see the greatness of the intimacy with God, and then the great spectacularness of God and who he is. His name is precious. Now, I will go out of that black mode and try to get into my normal mode so you don't have to endure my southern accent. The second thing I want you to notice, that not only is the name precious, the name is prolific. His name is prolific. That means there are multiplied names. I've said there's over 1,000 names. I have a list for you. Eventually, during our series, we will give you the entire list of 700 names of the Lord that I have gleaned from Scripture. I think it's something like 716 now. I've gone through every book of the Bible that I read, and I'm always looking for new names of the Lord, new descriptions of Him, and I write them down, and I put them on that list because Jesus is all of that to me. Whatever he says he is, he wants to be that fullness in my life. But he waits for me to claim it. He waits for me to grab hold of that name, to understand that name, and then to pray that name and to believe God to be that in my life. There are over 1,000 names, and yes, they are many more than we can number. I have numbered 45 Jehovah names, 44 El names, 42 names in Hebrews, 53 names in Isaiah, 50 names in the Psalms, 32 names in the Gospel of John, and 25 in Revelation. Yes, there are many, many more names than we could ever number. And I could love to spend the rest of the afternoon with you just reading off every name and letting you let that surround you. Let it soak up. Let it absorb you who your Lord is. We need to know the Lord. Paul prayed for the church and he said, I want you to know the Lord in the power of his resurrection. I want you to know him in all the fullness of his fellowship. And that is the prayer that God has today, that each one of us will grab hold of the name of the Lord, and we will tether to the name of the Lord. We will hold on to the name of the Lord. We will claim the name of the Lord. We will proclaim the name of the Lord. We will exalt the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord will be our strong tower. And we as the righteous will run into it, and we will be safe. The last point I want to make, and you say, Pastor, you're at the last point already? Yes. I can get an amen now? All right. The last point is, his name is powerful. It's precious, prolific, and it's powerful. The name of the Lord is power. His name is not to be admired and set on a shelf. Yes, we can put it on a plaque and we can put his name on our refrigerator, but that's not the purpose of his name. His name is power when we, God's people, call upon his name. For we are called by his name. We are his people and sheep of his pasture. Listen to what Psalm 91 says. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I encourage you to read through the entire chapter of Psalm 91 because it's a psalm of God's protection over you in the name of the Lord. He puts that shelter of that bubble of protection about you, as we talked about Job having that bubble of protection, so you have that protection as you claim the name of the Lord. Malachi 3:16 says this, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Do you understand that? The Lord says he's listening to our conversations with each other. I'm so glad several of you have shared with me your personal testimonies without me ever asking. You've just come up and shared out of the abundance of your heart what God has done. Some of you have shared answers to prayer and experiences with the Lord that I thrill in that. And the Lord says, I'm listening to each one of those. And a book of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and thought on his name. Isn't that wonderful? Every time we give a testimony of the Lord's name and what the Lord has done, God says there's a book in heaven, there's an angel writing down, keeping track of all of the answers to prayer and all of the exaltations of Jesus Christ. Man, when I get to heaven, I want to see that book, and I hope my book is full, because I want to be one who exalts the name of the Lord. I want Jesus Christ to be praised. I want him to be the center of my life and the center of my love. Do you want Jesus to be that for you? Malachi 4:2 says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. That is powerful. His name is powerful. Now I want to give you an illustration that leads us in to our benediction, which will come a little bit later. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, God was instructing Moses how to instruct the priests to do their duties. And in that, he gave the priest a formula. And it was not just something wrote to be memorized and uttered insignificantly. God says there are power in these words because I give you authority to bless the people of God in my name. And so we find that God says, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That is a formula that the priest was to do over the people. And they say historically the priest would hold his hands over the individual that he was pronouncing that blessing over. And he would have it in the shape of a dove. See the shape? Everybody do that. I want to make sure you're awake. Put your... Okay, now you know how to do it. You got to cross it? No? Come on. Nancy, you got to cross... There you go. Okay. He did that because it's symbolically of the hovering of the Holy Spirit over you. As I preached and taught on the prayer and a lot of different subjects of the deeper life over the past 10 years, in many of those teachings, I would do this in an afternoon session where we had freedom to walk around and people would come to an understanding of this passage that it's not just something that the preacher is to do. It's just something every one of us can do because the Lord has said, you are a kingdom of priests. That is you as individuals of the Lord. You belong to him. You are able to pronounce blessings. Why? Because the blessing is in his name. Here's why I tell you that. Because at the end of that, and we usually read that whole thing, but we forget the last verse, which says, so they, the priest, will put my name on them and I will bless them. Woo! That ought to stir your heart. When somebody in the name of Jesus prays over you, whether he anoints you with oil or just puts his hands over or does the dove thing over you, if he's praying those words in the name of the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Boom! That moment, you are marked with the name of the Lord. That's what it says here. You are marked with the name of the Lord. So in my teachings, I would go around and I'd pray for people individually and pray for them that God would bless them in some special way. And then I'd put my thumbprint on their head and say, now you're marked. Not with me, but you're marked with the name of the Lord. You're marked for blessing. As you leave this place, God is going to bless you because he has promised to do that. Whenever we pray for one another, when we pray over one another, now, I'm not suggesting you do the thumbprint on them. I'm not saying you should do any kind of mark on them because that's not the mark. It's not even the hand held this way that does the power. It's the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is powerful. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. And that's why the apostles, when they did their miracles, when people came running together, they said, why are you looking at us as though we did this through some power of our own or some righteousness of our own? We did not. It is in Jesus' name that this man rises up and walks among you. It's the name of the Lord that is the strong tower. Except we in our churches have been brought up to believe that that power belongs to the priest or the preacher. And it doesn't. It belongs to the saints. It belongs to the believer. To call upon the name of the Lord, and he will answer, and he will hear your prayer. How many of you ever watched Sesame Street? Oh, everybody knows Sesame Street. It used to bug me because they'd sing that song, and it goes like this. The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. Sing it with me. The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. It's wrong. The most important person in the whole wide world is not you. It's not me. It's not the preacher. It's not the priest. The most important person in the whole wide world and the whole universe is Jesus Christ. And he is exalted above all. That's why the Lord says he gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He wants us to know him in the power of the resurrection. And so he urges us to do this. Now, if you take that insert I have listed for you a number of things that you can do with the name of the Lord. On the inside of that insert, I'll let you go home and read all that. I'm not going to read it to you, but I want to just outline some of those thoughts to you as we close our service. The name of the Lord is to be used by believers. We are to believe in His name. We are to call on His name. We are to study His name. We are to think on His name. We are to pray in His name. We are to exalt His name. And we are to proclaim His name. Just to name a few of the things that we can do with the name of the Lord. I want to give you a challenge here. Because as we go through the next 8 weeks and talk about the names of the Lord, on November 15th, I'm going to be giving you a devotional, 40 days in the names of the Lord in the Old Testament. 40 Old Testament names of the Lord. I wrote this book. That doesn't make it better than somebody else's book. But I want to give it to you. I want every person that attends this church to have this little booklet. And beginning November 15th, every day you are to read through for the next 40 days concerning the names of the Lord. And the Lord will bless you as you do that, because I've had many churches, many dozens of churches that we've been in, that called or emailed to tell me what a wonderful blessing it was for the whole church to be reading the names of the Lord and exalting His name together. That is a wonderful thing to do. I want to challenge you that from this day and from this year, 2020 is going to go down in history as the year of the curse, the year of the COVID, the year of the pandemic, the year of isolation, the year of the masks. But when you take the name of the Lord, next year can be better, because you're going to claim His name. And so for the past 35 years, my wife and I have done, and we have taught our churches to do this. Everybody in the church ought to be searching for a name that God is going to give to you, a name of the Lord that He's going to identify that you should claim for the next year. A name that's very particular to you. And as you read through perhaps this booklet, or you're reading through the scripture, God will let a name shout out to you. And a number of people last year come to me and say, Pastor, the Lord has showed me He wants to be my way maker. He wants to be the way maker in my life. Somebody else comes up to me and says, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me, and He says, and one young lady asked me, is there a verse in scripture that says the Lord is the one who hears me? And I said, yes, it is. And I went to the Old Testament and Genesis, and I found that and gave her the scripture and gave her the Hebrew name of what that is to her. And she has that as the name of the Lord. Over these 35 years, we've taken many names of the Lord, and we hold that name precious. We put it upon the refrigerator. We put it on the wall. We remind ourselves daily. I have it in my journal, constantly reminded that the Lord is that to me. He wants to be all things to you. And this year can be the year that you start to claim His name and see the blessings of His name. For God is the faithful God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is El Shaddai, Almighty God. And He is Emmanuel, God with us. And all God's people said, amen and amen. He is all that to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. And thank You that You have given all authority to the Son. You said He is the brightness of Your glory and the express image of Your person. We thank You for who Jesus is. Lord, we call upon Your name. And we ask that You would open our eyes as we sang the song before the service. We ask that You would open our eyes and help us to see Jesus. We ask that You would give us understanding, and that our hearts would know what You have for us. We pray that many will come to love You as they've never loved before. We pray that You would empower them to pray in Your name. Empower them, Lord, to believe on Your name and to trust You to do great and mighty things. And we give You thanks. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.